RadioSaintPete.com film critic Charlie Jewell reviews The Last Word, now playing in area theaters.
I've never thought about what my obituary will read like, but I can understand those who kick the idea around, especially if they're on the mature end of the age spectrum. In Mark Pellington's The Last Word, Shirley MacLaine, as Harriet Lawler, is a control freak. Her obsessive need for perfection isolates her from family and friends, leaving her a daily, empty set of hours to ponder loneliness and the end. Enjoying the perks of being a wealthy retiree, Harriet marches into the editor-in-chief's office of the local newspaper and rents the obituary writer to focus on crafting her obituary for what appears to be a significant amount of real-world time. Aiming to shock the AARP crowd, first-time screenwriter Stuart Ross Fink tosses what he believes are surefire zingers, like "she puts the bitch in obituary" and eyebrow-raising profanity from a foul-mouthed 9-year-old, hoping to make those folks who grew up with Shirley MacLaine feel like they are watching something edgy. However, if you've seen any Bill Murray film in the past decade, the comedy portion of this script is more banal than punchy. There was an older gentleman in the theater literally howling with laughter at complete throwaway lines, such as when Harriet's ex-husband inquires as to whether she still has that stick stuck up her keister. Not funny, but apparently, if this is the first movie you've seen since MacLaine was in 1960's The Apartment, then it will have you rolling in the aisle. The obituary writer Harriet snares is one Anne Sherman, played by Amanda Seyfried. There are hints Anne is an undiscovered, gifted author with ideas swarming around her head, but they are hidden beneath layers of insecurity and jittery nerves. Anne scribbles behind locked doors at night in a journal she wants nobody to know anything about, but carries that journal wherever she goes, leaving it open to prying eyes on car seats and desks. Anne is also a loyal listener of the local indie music station, whose tagline, "Independent Music for Independent Minds," made me laugh. Anne unwinds at the end of a tough day by popping open a bottle of Dos Equis she ensures the camera sees as she reclines with what must be the world's most satisfying beer. I believe it is a challenge in the best of times to establish indie cred while at the same time acting as a conduit for product placement. Only Wayne's World has ever pulled that off. In the world's least surprising turn of events, Anne's professional assignment to study Harriet's life to divine the greatest obituary ever written begins to affect her personal life. She looks at her dad in a different light after discovering Harriet hasn't spoken to her daughter in years. Anne goes out on a date with her favorite indie DJ after Harriet strolls into the radio station with a radio flyer wagon full of vintage LPs, declaring she will take over the morning drive time slot. Here is where I will give both Stuart Ross Fink and Mark Pellington a tip of the hat. When Anne first meets Robin the DJ, played by Thomas Sadowski, we see it from Harriet's point of view, soundproofed in a radio booth. We don't know what Anne and Robin are saying, but it doesn't matter. Harriet slyly puts on a tune meant to nudge the awkward and shuffling couple-to-be into more meaningful conversation. She doesn't interject, insisting the two go out to dinner, or make some snide comment about getting a room already. She casually puts on an encouraging song. Only later, when Harriet drunkenly obliterates the first date, does the memory of this magic spell plummet down the garbage chute with it. The third leg of The Last Word's overly forced triangle is young Brenda, played by Anne Jewel Lee, a 9-year-old identified by the vague words "at risk," whom Harriet identifies as the girl she will mentor and impart her life lessons to. Brenda's presence is only a gimmick to remind the audience of St. Vincent, where Bill Murray takes on a similar role, only much better, and Harriet knows it will make her obituary that much sharper if it mentions her benevolence to a minority. The script treats Brenda as an afterthought gnat. She's around in all the key scenes, but it's not Brenda who needs saving, it's Anne. It's Anne's relationship with Harriet giving her the courage to share her writing with other people, or to begin a new romantic relationship, or to look for a more rewarding job. There is a feminist streak bubbling beneath The Last Word's surface. Multiple times, Harriet points out how in her day, it was rare for a woman to go to college and to start her own business. It was unorthodox, but that is why she became so successful. She challenged the status quo and made it fit her style, not the other way around. Is that why Harriet is so despised? What we call strong-willed or hard-nosed in a man, we call bitchy in a woman. The movie stiff-arms any examination of gender discrimination or the impediments of a woman attempting to operate in a man's world in favor of a too-long road trip scene and an inexplicable sequence with a tow truck that would never happen in a million years due to the millions of dollars owed in lawsuits. But nevertheless, the unexplored feminist hints are in here somewhere. Any momentum the last word had going for it has a stroke and dies about three-quarters of the way through. I tired of insecure Anne griping about the overbearing Harriet, and the extra wrong turns thrown into the script contributed nothing except padding to get the movie to the feature-length mark. By the time Harriet explains to Anne the order of magnitude of the term F-bomb that Brenda just taught her, it was past time to end the pain. McClane gives a believable performance as a cantankerous busybody, more serious than the comic relief she played as Weezer in Steel Magnolias. However, the last word is too paint-by-numbers to be anything other than a day pass for retirement home movie watchers. That is why I give the last word 2 out of 4 stars.
The last word, rated R, playing at AMC Sundial 20 in downtown St. Petersburg, AMC Veterans 24, and Regal Citrus Park Stadium 20. RadioSt.Pete.com film critic Charlie Jewell is a member of the Washington, D.C. Area Film Critics Association. To read more of Charlie's reviews online, visit CharlieJewell, JUHL.com.